Yeah, the list, you can't do it. But in God, you can. You can. That's right. That's right. In God, you can do the list. You yourself, it's impossible. But all things are possible in God. Chapter 29 today, the art of giving. The art of giving. Ooh, boy, that's a big one, isn't it? How do you give, right? How to give. Well, I can tell you what not to do, right? Back before the days when I was married, people would say, you're not married, you don't get it. And I'd say, I've been in business for a long time. I've had a lot of couples, and I can tell you what not to do, and what you're doing right now will not work. I can tell you what not to do. Well, kind of along those lines, in chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2022. I hope that person gets back on that just popped off. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2022. I always say, you got to leave people with their dignity. A good lesson. It's a good lesson when you're teaching people or realigning a situation. In that context, those words are good to remember, good to live by. How could I use the same words when I'm giving? Doesn't seem like that would fit, right? When a person is giving, it would seem that leaving people with their dignity may not apply. Well, it does. First of all, one must have a heart for giving and not taking. Giving without taking is an art in itself. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, what do you say? Well, so I shouldn't do it under compulsion. When somebody tells me to do it, I shouldn't do it. There's a big stupid in that, right? When you've got teachers that are helping you do things, we look for excuses to do our own will every time. Cut it out, right? Yeah, how many of us take more than our share and believe we deserve it at the very least? That's what we deserve at the very least. Or feel that our path, the one God has given us, is not as good as our neighbor's path or our brother or our sister. Maybe we've been shortchanged, right? We might selfishly ask ourselves, maybe we've been shortchanged. Whoever just coughed, please mute your phone. Have we been shortchanged? No. But we say these stupid things, right, to ourselves. Giving when I clearly don't feel like it and looking for an excuse not to. And giving with a gracious manner, that's hard to do. I don't want to give and give with graciousness, a thankful manner, a humbled heart. I got to tell you something, kids. In the state of mind of humility, it's impossible to compare ourselves to others and covet what they have. In the state of mind of humility, we are grateful for what we have been given and stand ready to see what God will allow us to do with it. Whatever God has for you, it's greater than anything you could ever think of. We just don't believe that, so we act accordingly, and that's not so good. Careful, be careful with what has been given to you. Arrogance and entitlement can tear you away from a love that the Lord has given you from others who would help you and keep you. It will keep you from the word that will sustain you. Yeah, arrogance and entitlement will keep you from love of others, people that are good for you, and from the word. It'll keep you away from it. Those things sustain you, man. But in your stupid head, in my stupid head, I got another idea. I got a different perspective, you know. That you would say that's your opinion, Pat. All those things are excuses for losers. Losers. Before you raise up on your high horse about how good you are, be aware. You're treading on thin ice when you're doing those sorts of things, and we all do them. I'm not pointing any fingers except at me. Where do you think these notes came from? These notes were for me, to me. I never thought I'd be talking about them to you. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Wow, this is such heavy stuff. And when people say, that's for the old days. Yeah, it was good for the old days, and it's good for the nowadays. Believe me, kids, this saved my keister, as they say. This saved my keister. I'm just sharing my testimony. I didn't write this stuff, these scriptures. I'm just telling you what they say. And what they say saved my keister. What's it all mean? It means quit doing everything for yourself, pretending that you are altruistic, super good, and quite possibly even a philanthropist in your own eyes. Why, I'm such a giver. I'm amazing. That's not giving. That is taking. Think about that. It's not giving anything. It's taking. Or worse, giving with the expectation of getting more because you have not been given enough. Again, that phrase that goes on in our heads, what can I take? What do I get out of this? Let's define giving. What do we have to give? Well, we have our time, our money, love, knowledge, and our testimony in God. What's the opposite of giving? Wasting time, costing time, causing chaos in time, and putting yourself in jeopardy because of my own selfish nature. How many others could I lead astray in that kind of mindset? If we are giving of our selfish nature, our personal agenda, anger, ill content, no belief, no trust, theories and generalities instead of facts, personal opinions based in greed, if we're giving that sort of thing, concepts on God rather than scripture, self, money, property, prestige, false teachings, false gods, yeah, perhaps you recognize a few of these hideous taskmasters. Do you? I do. I got to straighten myself out when I was in this man. Money, property, and prestige is a false god. I had to learn that stuff. I had to wake up. It's a very important phrase you can begin to use. Without that, without waking up, you'll never understand chapter 20, 29, The Art of Giving. You'll never understand it. Jeremiah 45, 5. Are you looking for great things for yourself? Do not look for such things. For I, the Lord, affirm that I am about to bring disaster on all humanity. But I will allow you to escape with your life wherever you go. Oh, wow. That's heavy, dude. All of us have suffered from big shotism, right? We got a few bucks, we give money to this and that in front of our friends. Or maybe we bring a cash tithe to the pastor in person so we can enjoy the accolade in person. Or buy dinner for whoever at whatever expensive restaurant. Talk about our investments. Donate to politically correct charitable organizations, possibly in front of the camera. Possibly in front of the camera, right? Or an audience of sorts. Put my name on the list of investors, financial and political good deeds. A little sparkle comes off my holy front tooth, right? Bling! As I graciously smile towards heaven. Of course, this is an exaggeration, but you get the point. This isn't giving. It's campaigning, right? Ain't giving. That's campaigning. The question is, where is your heart? There are wonderful, quiet individuals that do the financing of God's church behind the curtain. Under the radar, busy about the Lord's work. The Great Commission, as Jesus has given, the Great Commission, giving people testimony, teaching scripture, working in the fields of the Lord. Those people may be hard to see, especially if you're not one of them. Yeah, they're hard to see because they're cool. They're super cool. Glad and obedient in service to the Lord is a gift. Use it gladly. Money is important for God's church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just talking about money, though, but right now, this sentence I am. Money is important for God's church. We live on earth, and the light bill is expensive. The cost of doing business is real. And people working in ministry, they need salaries to secure their families. What do you think? The work of God, they just take their time out for you, and it should be for free, and they should live on donuts? What's the matter with people when they think like that? The church is always asking for money. Look, there's clowns out there that are asking for money. Clowns that are flying jet airplanes and asking for money and being boneheads. They're false teachers. I'm not talking about that, man. And you know the difference. All of you know the difference. All of you know the difference. All right. So those kind of people, they need salaries. They need money for their families, so they can continue the work of God. And it's our job to do that. I'll give you a scripture in a minute. It's cool. That's cool. But for right now, that's the end of talking about money? Well, no. Your money is blessed. You are blessed by God with your money. Blessed every dollar he gave you. You didn't earn anything. We all think we did so much. We didn't do nothing. A lot of people work harder than I do, way harder, for minimum wage, 3 jobs a day. Oh yeah, digging ditches, trenches, and working, and they're 60 years old. All right, let's keep going. What else can you give besides money? Well, first of all, you can't give anything you don't have. Support, teaching of the word, love, none of it matters if you haven't done the work. Learned, how can you help anybody without prior commitment in these areas? How can you teach anybody the word if you don't study it? How can you teach anybody what the Bible says if you don't read it? How can you be supportive of people who are trying to walk the good walk with God if you don't even know God? You don't know, you don't read about it, you have your concepts of God. And how do you do all that with honor and dignity so that others may learn from you? Well, you can't if you don't have it to give. If you're pretending like your concept is the way it is. There's thousands of years of Bible. The earth is, the planet, the world is saying the Bible doesn't matter. It does matter, kids. And like I said, how do I know? Because it saved me. It saved me, and I'm on the phone talking to you about it. You see God's hand in this? A loser, bonehead, what, Irish, German, resistor, bum? Save me. Save me, and I fight for myself every day. I fight that I try to stay on the straight and narrow. That's with God. Can you imagine what this world is going? Yes, you can imagine what this world is going through without God. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." How are you going to do that if you don't know, if you don't study, if you haven't got it? The art of giving starts with the art of learning, giving of your time to learn how to be a good friend. A good minister, a good helper, a good anything requires training, and training requires a committed heart. And then you gotta wanna give it. Well, what if I don't? You pray that you do. Giving is a lot of things. A lot of you and me, a lot. I'll say it again. Giving for God is a lot of things, and it can be very inconvenient. We are so arrogant and how well we are doing, how much we are giving, how tremendous I am, how much more I deserve before I'm going to give one more minute of my time, money or love, I'll tell you that. What do I get out of this? Yeah, man, every one of you know what I'm talking about because you're just like me. What do you suppose our lives would be like if God did the same thing? If God withheld his mercy until we behaved correctly? Where do you think we'd be? Nowhere comes to mind. Nowhere good, I'll tell you that. Oh, my Lord, how do I give with a heart of beauty? How do I say thank you with an awesome love? How do I remove petty from my everything and give freely and lovingly because of my faith with a capital F? How, my Father, can I stop pushing away the right people and embrace the instructions I have been given? That would be a prayer for each and every one of us. Psalm 138, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretched out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. If I pray to God that those words, Why do I not do that myself? If I pray that to God, thank you for working for me, do not forsake the work of your hands for me, how can I forsake the work that he has given me to do? Look, if you believe that, if I believe it, I can give of myself, money, time, love, anything I have, and I can do it gladly. If I don't believe it, I'm petty, guarded, secretive, measured in what needs to be done based on what I get, selfish and nasty. What's the litmus test? Well, this is rough. I ask myself, do I expect people to give me their time? Do I get angry when they don't? Do I expect people for what I am paying them to bow down in homage and be my friend? Do I resent it when people ask me to do for them or to help? Do I resent being taught things I disagree with, even when those people have helped me in the past and their counsel has been excellent? Am I willing to go to allow a good relationship? Am I willing to just go and allow a good relationship to stop because of my stubborn reasoning, even when that relationship has been good? Do I take thousands of dollars every month for myself and give my church peanuts in comparison? Am I stingy? Am I prone to fits of anger when asked to do very little? Do I ever say, I'm sorry, I need to restore what has happened, please, let's get back and continue God's work, what can I do to help? If the answer is no to any of those questions, I got problems, kids, I got problems. People need Jesus, I need Jesus. It takes a good representative, a cheerful giver to inspire hope in a hopeless world. Could that be me or you? I hope so, man. I hope so, because if it's not, I'm done. I'm so done. If I am any of those things and I don't fix it when it happens, I'm done. If I think I'm entitled to think like anything I just said, I'm done. I'm going nowhere. The devil can't make you sin. He'll make you stagnant. Dudes, dudettes, Luke 18:9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That is what Jesus said about the tax man and the Pharisee who was oh so full of himself. Oh yeah, take that one to heart. I do. Makes me feel like an idiot sometimes, right? So how do you give? How do you give? How do I give? I stop doing the things discussed in this chapter and do the opposite. I love instead of resent. Give instead of take. Offer instead of withhold. Apologize instead of resent. Kill indignant in your heart. I have to kill indignant in my heart over and over again. Kill it when it raises its ugly head. Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. We always say, I'll do it when I get what I get. When I start getting something, I'll give something. It's not the way it works, kids. You're never going to get anything. You're going to suffocate yourself. Malachi 3, 9, 11. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Wow. Does that sound like any nation you know? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army. the Lord of heaven's armies. Who is that? Jesus. That is Jesus. What does that mean? Pretty self-explanatory, but if you're resisting it, it's because you don't want to know what it means. You want to believe that what you're doing is enough. It's not enough for everything you've been given. For any of us, all of us, me, myself, and I, that's the Trinity, isn't it? Before we find God, the Trinity is me, myself, and I. Not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Trinity is who? Me. Me, myself, and I. Knock it off, man. Knock it off. 2 Corinthians 9. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Well, Pat, then it says right there that you can't compulsion me to do it. You can't tell me to do it. I don't have to do what you say. You're not the boss of me. Knock it off. Knock off your silly, selfish nonsense that all of us do, by the way. Back to the Trinity, right? Me, myself, and I. Yeah, right? Cheerful giver. When an elder is teaching you, listen. When a man of God is teaching you, listen. When God is speaking through those around you, shut up and listen. Hey, the following little story made me feel like an idiot. You're going to love it. With all that I have been given, so many people that helped me, people I inadvertently, by the way, threw to the curb and blamed them for their incompetence, people that loved me and helped me, loved me, put them to the curb. I say I'm sorry every day for those people. Oh, forgive me, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray every day that with what time I have left to do everything different, whatever I have left, let me do everything different, better, for the good that you put in me, for the good you put in me, rather than the bad. Okay, here's the story that made me feel like an idiot. It was called The Widow's Offering. Everybody says the Bible doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's so crazy. It has to do with everything. The world is losing its mind. Well, it says in Scripture it's going to happen. You want to be on the right side of the fence when God shows up, kids. You want to stop thinking about some of the Bible works, some of the Bible doesn't. That's not right. When you don't agree with something in the Bible, change your mind. Mark 12, 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Wow! Can you imagine going to the church and giving everything you have? No, of course not. That's not what I'm saying to do, duh. What happened in this little story here, this parable, is faith with a capital F. The poor widow happily gave what she had to the movement of the Lord, the mission, the giving, in love. She had faith that God is with her and God will take care of her. She had faith. So what am I to share in this chapter, the art of giving? Call it panache. Panache. A flair, if you will. In your giving, a panache, a flair for the subtle, the reverent, necessary, the quiet, and yet effective, efficient gesture. Proper and necessary, sharing what is necessary to facilitate the word of God without pride, expectation, or motive. With graciousness, as God has afforded us. There's an elegance when giving correctly, an elegance. It's void of ego or want for desire or prestige. And most importantly, it's necessary for each of us to give correctly, practicing the art of doing what needs to be done with the heart of a servant. Giving incorrectly could actually be stealing. You ever think about that? Giving incorrectly, wanting for yourself, is actually stealing from myself. If I'm giving incorrectly, I'm stealing from myself and what God's given me. Consider that for a moment. Teach others the importance of knowing what the blood of Christ has done for all mankind. Can't do that unless you believe it. Give your money to those in service of the church who take the time to teach you, care about you, love and support you in the Lord's word, and those who talk with you even when I and you are a spoiled brat. Homie, don't play that game. I didn't sign up for that. Well, I'm paying enough out in my life and taxes. I deserve more. I deserve what I'm getting. Man, knock it off. Find true love in Christ. Admiration, compassion, support, wisdom, forever committed and completely. The true love in Christ, that's Christ. Give glory and honor to God for all the things you have, not yourself. Give with complete abandon. Give of your heart. Do all these things with honor and an elegance. Selfishness has no place here. Indignant has no place here. As Christ gave to us all, use his way to imitate, emulate, and become better. Never complain of the challenges. Rather, pray thanks for the ability to consume yourself with solutions and alignment with God's will. Give of yourself to God. Hard stuff for sure. No, it isn't. It's not as hard as living with a hard, selfish heart, petty and well-versed in jealousy and envy. Back to the Trinity, right? Me, myself, and I. Yeah, it's not as hard as living like that. How do I know? I wrote these notes to myself. These were my notes that I referred to when I was trying to get out of a terrible, terrible life that I had created for myself. Trying to do the right thing. But I did it without God. I did it with, what do I get out of this? How do I get something? If I do this, this will happen. If I do that, this will. Well, the if-then statement's still good. If I give this to God, I will benefit. But I got to do it through God. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving. Art is hard. You don't believe me? Try painting, playing an instrument, poetry, writing a short story, selling a book, singing. Art is hard. The art of giving requires practice, doesn't it? The art. Art requires practice, doesn't it? If you don't believe me, ask the violin player. Remember the violin story? This woman watched this violin player. He was amazing, amazing. She watched the concert. She was like, it's awesome, awesome. And she went backstage after the concert and she said to him, I would give my life to play like you. And he said, I did give my life. Yeah, art is hard. Art. Stingy. But it's worth it, I'll tell you. Stingy is not worth it. Short-sighted, doesn't yield a good result. If I'm stingy, I'm always unhappy. I always think somebody else has got more than me. And you know what? There's a good chance I'll teach my kids to be stingy and the grandkids. Who wants a stingy grandpa? Short answer, nobody. Proverbs 11, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due. And yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Oh, wow. The guy who's throwing everything out there, man, he increases. How could that be? He's throwing everything out there. He's throwing it out. Emptying the bag he's got. He's emptying all the bag. He gets more. That's what this scripture says. And the one who keeps the bag, he doesn't get any more. Wow, that's crazy, right? Chapter 29, The Art of Giving. Leave people with their dignity. Yeah. Give yourself a chance at your own dignity. How about that? Paint a picture with the hand of God. Title it, Those Beautiful Colors in My Life as I'm Riding with the King. Now, you know, when I'm writing these things in the middle of the night, I thought they were beautiful. Well, they're beautiful to me, and I'm trying to share them with you. But if that doesn't work for you, let me give you that painting again. Paint a picture with the hand of God. Title it, Those Beautiful Colors in My Life, as I'm Riding with the King. Now, if that doesn't work for you, you're a little too outside there, right? You could say, think about this, kids. When God is in you and you share yourself with others, they see God in you. And then through their eyes, you might see God looking back at you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Huh? Chapter 29, The Art of Giving, 2022. Amen, amen. John, let's get to work.